If I might do a little recapitulation, the last time we saw Jesus, or actually didn't see him, was as he was disappearing from the violent grip of his former friends and neighbors in Nazareth. He had just proclaimed his identity as the fulfiller of the ancient scrolls, teaching rather unnervingly there in the synagogue of the Nazarenes, and then, because of a strong series of denouncements of their unbelief, his former friends and neighbors attempted to murder him in a fit of mob violence, which again he escaped from, and rather mysteriously. So if you and I were together right now, and we were able to just converse about this, I would ask you this question. As he then makes the 10-hour walk between Nazareth and where he heads next, what do you think the emotion of Jesus was? Literally, how does he feel? And with that, given that rather too warm welcome he just received in his hometown, what does Jesus now lack? Well, right, a home, a hometown. So here in this moment, we have a homeless, sad-hearted, mostly unknown teacher walking down a dusty road surrounded by a few young men who have linked their lives to his. Which brings me to a wonderfully short, almost call it like a stub of a scripture, that actually tells us something very interesting about the life of Jesus over the next 2+ years. So listen to this. It's from Matthew 4, verses 13 through 17. He left Nazareth and came to live in Capernaum, a seaside town in the Zebulun-Naphtali territory. In this way, Isaiah's prophecy came true. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, meaning in this case, all over the Galilee, and to say, "You must change your hearts, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived." Friends, for some reason, I have always been disproportionately drawn to this little passage. It seems so short and more like a linkage between bigger narratives. But actually, maybe that's why I am drawn to it. It serves as this marvelous connection, not only in this moment between narratives, but between heaven and earth, the miraculous and the mundane, all that was and all that now is. Think about what's happening. Think about what's being said. For instance, more than 700 years before this day, in the capital city of Jerusalem, the prophet of his day, Isaiah, son of Amoz, stepped forward and in that strange, arresting voice of the prophetic, shouted forth these words. Listen. "In that day, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." That, by the way, is the scripture that was just given to us in Matthew 4. It's from Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. And by the way, do you know what Isaiah says then only just a few moments after that? You might have heard it before. Listen. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Putting all that together, I mean, it's kind of epic, isn't it? But now, contrast that with the, I would imagine, absolutely unnoticed, no one probably particularly cared, reality of Jesus simply arriving there. He shows up, let's say, on a Tuesday afternoon, while everyone is just going about the business of their lives, and says to his friends, "Let's make this our home base." Capernaum, a seaside town in the Zebulun-Naphtali territory, along the way of the sea. And I would say to you, let's stop right there, because this is another of those glorious connections I'm talking about. I wonder if any of you, as you listen to my voice right now, actually know all that much about this thing called the Way of the Sea, or even about Galilee in general in that day. Probably not. Well, you're not alone. So I want you to listen to one of my favorite, what I would call practical theologians, talking about the geopolitical situation of the Galilee itself. Listen, this is a great quote. "It has been said that Judea was on the way to nowhere, and Galilee was on the way to everywhere, for the great roads of the east passed through Galilee. From there, he could look down on the great road of the sea, the road which went from Damascus to Egypt, one of the greatest highways in the world, with its merchantmen and its caravans. From there, he could see the strategic road of the east, which went out from the Mediterranean coast to Parthia and to the eastern bounds of the Roman Empire, with its Arab traders and its Roman legions clanking on their way." Isn't that picturesque? Can you kind of see that in your mind's eye? And can you see how Jesus, in this nonchalant way of his, in which he seems to always do almost everything, sets his life right down there at the nexus of those great roads? And how the people of that place, not just the Jews, but also those Gentile passers-by, would then and thus get to see the dawning of the great light? Friends, this is magnificent. In fact, let's meditate on how spectacularly magnificent this is. Because prior to the book of Acts, prior to the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant, the coming of the kingdom, and most importantly, Jesus himself, well, what position would a group of Gentiles like us have occupied with reference to God, to Yahweh? Well, seemingly, frankly, no position. But now let's go back to Isaiah's words. And these are just another few moments after his Galilean prophecy. And I want you to listen to what is said about this Prince of Peace of ours. This is from Isaiah 11. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel." My friends, can we grasp how absolutely wonderful is this word? How completely meaningful to our lives, and how the start of it was starting right there on that day in Capernaum. He takes up residence at the meeting of those great roads so that people like us could begin to see, and thus begins to take up residence in our hearts. I mean, again, I can't stop using these hyperbole, but how absolutely wonderful. In fact, here is how the Apostle Paul described this miracle of miracles. Listen to him. This is from Ephesians 2. "Prior to all this, you were without Christ. You were utter strangers to God's chosen community, the Jews. And you had no knowledge of or right to the promised agreements. You had nothing to look forward to and no God to whom you could turn. But now, through the blood of Christ, you who were once outside the pale are with us inside the circle of God's love and purpose. For Christ is our living peace. He has made a unity of the conflicting elements of Jew and Gentile by breaking down the barrier which lay between us. By his sacrifice, he removed the hostility of the law with all its commandments and rules. and made in himself out of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, thus producing peace. Friends, prior to the incarnation, and especially prior to the incarnate one setting up shop in the place where Gentiles like us might see him, well, we were without a savior, utter strangers, without knowledge, with no part in any covenant at all. We had nothing to look forward to, no God. We were outside the pale, without peace, in a state of constant disintegration and perpetual conflict, both inner and outer. And now, with a God who would come to earth, to Galilee, to Capernaum, so that he could come to us, what do you and I have now, meaning today? Well, Jesus himself, familiarity with God, endless community, knowledge, the new covenant, everything, friends, everything to look forward to. A personal God who is our friend, who has drawn us from the outside in, into his own love and purpose. We have peace. We are in union with each other and him. We are done with all the conflicts of man, inner and outer, all those hostilities of religion and the flesh. We ourselves may learn to walk as that new man. Little explications of the true one, the light himself, Jesus. So yes, he left Nazareth and came to live in Capernaum. I do think there's a reason to be disproportionately drawn to a little line like that. Because for those who've actually done business with the darkness and then actually seen that great light, well, nothing is ever the same again, ever. You and I can be like those people of Capernaum, both its citizens and its passers-by, in experiencing the never-ending proximity of Jesus, who is, just to remind you, the light, just to remind you, of the world. Thanks so much for listening.